Certainly are thankful for this opportunity we have to worship the Lord together. We appreciate the song service and the song selection and the prayer that's been offered up this morning. You know, there was a church that I pastored in Florida for many years, and they had a song leader who was the band director in the town there, and he read music, and I tried to stump him up a few times, selecting songs he didn't know, but he always could lead them. He was pretty impressive. And so there in that congregation, we folks would just select songs, you know, as they felt led, and we never sang the same songs from service to service. And I started noticing in the song selection, the words that were in those songs would correspond to what the Lord had laid on my heart to preach. And I thought, wow, this is just an amazing thing. Each Sunday and each Wednesday night, I would start to notice that. That's what happened to me this morning in the song selection. The songs that were selected and the words that we sung correspond with what we feel like is on our mind. I appreciate all of you who selected songs. It was a great blessing to me, and I trust it was to you as well. I'd like to direct your attention to Isaiah chapter 26, to a verse of Scripture here, 26th chapter of Isaiah. And this, we have the book of Psalms that records songs, but this chapter is actually a song that will be sung in the land of Judah, is how it begins in verse 1. And I'd like to notice one verse of Scripture here in this song, and maybe we'll get to some of the verses around it, but first, I'd just like to go to the Scripture, and it's in verse 3, Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Now, this verse of Scripture is a promise. A promise that God will keep us in perfect peace, but there is, you know, the Bible is full of promises of God, and some of them are unconditional, and some of them are conditional. And in this case, we have a conditional promise. God will keep him in perfect peace, this is the one he keeps in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, on God. That's where his mind stays, is on God. And the reason he gives is because he trusteth in thee. I mean, we're singing songs this morning about 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And it is. It is. It's sweet to trust in him. We talk about God's faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. That's who you put your trust in, is someone who is faithful. You can count on them. They're trustworthy. They're reliable. And so someone who puts their trust in God is someone who has their mind stayed on God. Now, in a moment, we're going to look and see why this is so important. But first, I want to mention this, God keeping us in perfect peace. Perfect peace. You know, peace is one of those things that you take for granted till you lose it. Peace is the absence of conflict, whether a nation's at war or just someone in trouble in their own mind has lost their peace. And it's my belief, and I believe the Bible teaches, that the only way you can really have peace is if the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, is involved in the matter. I don't believe you can really have peace without the Lord being in the matter. You can't have peace. It takes the Prince of Peace to have this perfect peace that he refers to here. I've also heard it said, and I thought it was a very good point, that you can't really have peace unless you have victory. A compromise is not peace, but you have to have victory in order to have peace. Now, that's an interesting thought, because when it comes to you and I, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, when they fell, we all lost our peace with God. Every one of us, the whole human race, because sin was now in the picture. Sin was now in the equation. It took the Son of God, Jesus, coming and dying on that cross in order to restore the peace between us and God. That's what it took. He took care of the sin problem. Okay? He didn't compromise. He didn't say, well, God, if you just lower your standards a little bit, and if y'all would just pick it up a notch. That's not what he did. Oh, no. He took care of the sin problem and got it out of the way so that now we have peace with God. And you will never really have peace with anyone else unless you first have peace with God. I think it's important to understand that peace is a two-way street. You could have peace with someone, but they don't have peace with you. All right? So when Jesus took care of the sin problem, he made it so that God has peace with us now. But there's a difference between God having peace with us and us having peace with God. It's a two-way street. God now has peace with us as a result of the work of Jesus on the cross. But for us to have peace with God, that involves some effort on our part. In Romans 5, verse 1, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's that direction. Now, it takes faith on your part. Being justified by faith is what it takes for you to have peace with God. You know, I hear about people, other ministers will mention people who say, well, I'd love to join the church. I just don't feel worthy to do that. You know, I love to talk to someone like that. I love to talk to someone like that and say, you are exactly who needs to join the church. If you feel that way, if you truly feel that way, if you are sin sick and sorrowful for your life and your condition, and you don't feel worthy to be in the Lord's house and among the Lord's people, you're exactly who we need. You're one who stands in need of the comfort that the church provides. Being justified by faith is a great blessing. When your faith gets involved in the matter, your faith, there's a justification means to declare righteous. There's a declaration that takes place inside of you as a result of your faith and your trust in what Jesus has done for you, that you now have peace with God. Oh, that's a great place to be. It's a great place to be to have peace with God, because you must start there in order to have peace anywhere else. You know, it's also important to point out, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, it says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches. That text, 1 Corinthians 14, 33, tells us that if you have peace in the church, I'll tell you how you got it. It wasn't by accident. It wasn't an accident. God is the one who makes us to have peace in the church. The reason for that is Jesus promises in John 16, 33, in this world you shall have tribulation. This world, the devil, and our own sinful flesh are at war against the things of God. We have three enemies fighting us to try to keep us from being at peace. The only reason we do is God is the author of peace. Notice what Jesus says in John 16, 33. Again, I didn't read the whole verse to you. Sometimes not having the whole verse doesn't tell the whole picture. I told you the bad news of John 16, 33. In this world you shall have tribulation. But at the beginning of that verse, he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. He says, I spoke these things to you, these words, the words of God, that you might have peace. Now I'll tell you, if you truly want to have peace, you need to get real familiar with the Word of God. God's Word and following God's Word will keep us in peace. Now, I'm not saying it'll keep you in peace with the world. No, on the contrary, in this world you shall have tribulation, Jesus said. But if you want to have peace in yourself, among one another, we need to follow God's Word. That's what it takes. But notice he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. This is a constant state. A constant state of peace to a person whose mind is in a constant state of being stayed on him. Someone whose mind is constantly stayed on the Lord will be kept by God in perfect peace. Now, this is quite an important thing. If you turn me to Philippians chapter 4, we read the words here in Philippians 4 from a man, the Apostle Paul, who was in jail at the time. He's not in the church house. He's in jail writing these words. and how beautiful these words are here in Philippians chapter 4. He says in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now notice, he says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. You know, you could take all the books in this world and learn all there is to know, but the peace of God is better than that. Peace of God is better than knowing everything. It passes all understanding. In fact, it passes all understanding in the sense that we can't really describe it or fully grasp how the peace of God is so precious and beautiful like it is. To have peace, oh, that's a great blessing. That's a privilege from the Lord Himself. It's the peace of God. I'm reminded of the words of Jesus in John 14, 27, where Jesus says, "My peace I give unto you." Oh, you know the Lord, He gives us these gifts and these blessings, but just think about the peace that Jesus has. He's the Prince of Peace. He has the peace with God. He has the peace. In fact, He has the peace to such a degree that He can fall asleep on a ship while there's a storm on the sea. You know, some people can sleep through a lot of stuff. I'm one of those people. I'm a deep sleeper. And I really feel bad for all those light sleepers in the world. Oh, man, I just can't imagine. Every little noise, every little thing just wakes me up. My heart goes out to people like that. That's just not something I'm afflicted with. But I'll tell you, Jesus, He slept on that ship in the midst of all the waves, and the boat was filling up with water, and He's still asleep. Boy, that's some peace right there. And they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" You know, we're about to die here. Do you not care? You know, we got to make sure we ask the Lord the right questions. Don't ever ask the Lord if He cares. Of course He cares. And He wakes up, and what does He say? "Peace, be still." And it did. You know, Jesus said, "These words I've spoken unto you that you might have peace." He demonstrated that on that occasion. That when He spoke the word, the winds and the waves obeyed and became a peace, and they were still. So He has the power to do that. But He also has such peace that no matter what circumstances were going on, a storm, the winds, the waves, it didn't bother Him. It didn't get to Him. And the Apostle Paul, in a Roman jail, writing these words about the peace of God, I believe he was qualified to speak about what he did. He had the peace of God. He had something that you and I would be greatly blessed by drawing from what he is describing here. I believe this fourth chapter tells us more about how to get that peace of God. You back up to verse 1. He says, "Therefore, my dear brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." First thing we ought to do is stand fast. We have an enemy, the devil, who we are under attack. I just don't want to sugarcoat it to you this morning. We are under attack by this enemy of ours, who is the devil. People are not our enemy. The devil is our enemy. And in order for us to withstand his attacks, we've got to be armed with the armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The wiles of the devil. He's very subtle. In fact, he doesn't want you to even know he's there. He just comes and disrupts things. He's always standing at the door just waiting on one person to let him in. He's like, have y'all ever had any of those animals that sit by the door and just wait for the door to open and they rush in? I tell you, that's how he is. He just wants one person to let him in. All it takes is one. One person to let him in. Well, I'll tell you, since we are fighting against, he's coming to take away the peace of God that we are blessed to have. Notice what Paul says in verse 2. "I beseech you, Euodias, and beseech Syntyche," that's my best effort, "Syntyche, that they may be of the same mind in the Lord." You know, we could all be like-minded if we do what he says in the second chapter, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." If we all have the mind of Christ, who he didn't try to promote himself, but humbled himself and became obedient to whatever the Lord's will was, and even the death of the cross. He would humble himself. If we all humble ourselves in our own mind, we would have the ability to be like-minded. If every one of our minds are stayed on the Lord, we would be like-minded. If our minds were like-minded in that way. You know, it's very important that we get... Let's talk about that for a moment. Our mind is the battleground. You know, it's no wonder where our minds have been, even in this service this morning. I mean, the things of the world and the troubles and cares of this life, it just constantly seemed to come into my mind. What about you? I just constantly, our minds... I remember Brother Sonny Piles years ago when people were asking him how he'd get ready to preach. How did he get something on his mind? He says, I didn't worry about getting something on my mind. I worried about getting stuff off of my mind. And he's right. Get stuff off of our mind for us to be able to worship the Lord the way we should. Get all that stuff out. That's hard to do. Keep our minds stayed on the Lord. In fact, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says this about the armor that God has given us. And notice how this armor is designed in 2 Corinthians 10. He says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Notice our warfare is not like hand-to-hand combat. You know, Jesus was taken by Pilate, and he says, if my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I not be delivered to you. But our warfare is not after the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The Lord doesn't give us weak and inadequate weapons. They're mighty weapons. That was what he says in parentheses in verse 4. Verse 5. Here's where the weapons are designed. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now notice he says, our weapons of our warfare are designed to cast down imaginations. You know, when our children were young, they would start to imagine things that weren't there. And started playing and doing all this. I'll tell you, that's beautiful. That's a wonderful thing. That's where creativity comes from. You know, children talk about being bored. That's exactly what they need to be, because that's when they get creative. Being bored, man, you can figure out some stuff. You can design some stuff when you get bored and get a little creative. Well, that's a wonderful thing. But I'll tell you, it's a dangerous thing for the child of God to start to imagine and let their thoughts run out of control when they're not controlled by what the Word of God says. You know, we can come up with a lot of stuff that is contrary to what the Lord would have us to do. You know, Brother Mark Quarles did some good preaching at Antioch this weekend. And he talked about the time when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And he said David had a great idea. He would put it on a new cart and the oxen would drive it just the way the Philistines did it. And that ended up costing Uzzah his life when the oxen stumbled and the ark was sliding off, and he put his hand up there to steady it, and the Lord smote him right there. You may say, well, that's terrible. Why would the Lord do that? Because the Lord had already told them, you only carry the ark with staves. Don't come up with a new idea or some new design. Cast that down. Notice he says, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought that we have, we need to make it our prisoner to be obedient to Christ. I tell you, this is the battleground for the child of God. Your mind. The devil tries to lead, this world tries to lead away your mind, distract your mind, and take it away from the things of God. Keep you so busy that you don't have time for the things of God. Oh, we've got to guard against that. We've got to guard against that and keep our mind stayed on the Lord if we want to stay in that perfect peace. I think about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where he talks about putting on as a helmet the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. You know, hope is something that keeps... You know, the opposite of hope is despair. Despair. You know, depressed. You know, if you have hope, you are not in that condition. I'll tell you, your mind is best guarded against with the hope of salvation. You know, we are in hope of eternal life that God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That's what we have to look forward to. There's our hope. We should never become despondent. You know, I said true peace comes from victory. I tell you, we have victory in Jesus because Jesus arose victorious over the grave. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 says, there he has given us the victory over death. That means this world is not something to be feared by the child of God. The devil is not something to be feared by the child of God. They've all been defeated by Jesus. And so therefore we have peace because of the victory we have in Jesus. Very quickly, back to Philippians 4. He says in verse 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Child of God wants to be at peace. They should find those that they can help. Notice it says, help those women which labor with me in the gospel. Help them. Be a help to God's people. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. You want to have peace, you must always be rejoicing in the Lord. You know, we have a lot of circumstances that can get us down. But in the Lord, we always have to, something to rejoice in, what the Lord has done. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. To be a moderate, temperate person, not one given to extremes. Then he says, verse 6, be careful for nothing. That means don't worry. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And pray in this way, pray with thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful to the Lord for. Count our blessings. And we'll see how much we have to be thankful to the Lord for. If we can follow these steps, that's when he says verse 7, and the peace of God. If we can follow those steps in verses 1 through 6, then we can enjoy that great peace with God. And we could go on and on here, but we got to move on. He says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Let's get back to our text in Isaiah 26. Because he says, here in the 26th chapter, because he trusteth in thee. Verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The Lord is more powerful than any problem that we might have. The Lord is more powerful. God's strength actually manifests itself in weakness. That's what Paul learned in 2 Corinthians 12 when he had that thorn in the flesh and he prayed 3 times for the Lord to take it away and he didn't do it. Have you ever had a prayer you prayed the Lord and he never answered it the way you asked him to pray? What you asked for in your prayer was not answered? You know, if we can learn from Paul's experience in 2 Corinthians 12, that happened to him. He prayed 3 times and the Lord didn't give him his request. And the reason was he had something to learn. And I believe when the Lord doesn't answer our request the way we ask, it's because the Lord knows we have something to learn. Or someone else has something to learn in observing our condition. And so Paul says, when the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for thee, my grace is enough. You have this thorn in the flesh, but I've given you the grace to endure it. The Lord's given God's people grace for their conditions. In fact, I love Hebrews 4 where he says that we come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In our time of need, we can go to the throne of grace. You know, it's a throne of grace to the child of God because of what Jesus did. If Jesus hadn't done his work on the cross at Calvary, we can read what that throne would be like to us today. If you go to Revelation 20, it says there is a great white throne there from whose face the one that's sitting on the throne, the whole earth and heaven fled away for fear. And they opened up the books and judged the people out of the books according to their works. That's what's going to happen when the Lord comes back again to the wicked, not to the child of God. You have nothing to fear. You're not going to have to stand and give an account for yourself because Jesus took care of that on the cross. But there are some that will. And there is a great fear to stand before that throne. Brother Mark was talking about criminals who are there, and the jury just reads, we find the defendant guilty on this count, guilty, guilty, guilty. He says, they tried to look around for a place to run and hide, and there's nowhere to go. That's the way it will be for the devil and his angels and the wicked on that great day. But not to you, dear friends. You have a throne of grace where you can go to the Lord seeking mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. Paul said, God told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. He says, for my strength, the Lord's saying this, is made perfect in weakness. When you're weak, that's when you're really strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Paul says, I've learned to glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, dear friends, and the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So what should we do? Trust in the Lord forever. Trust in him. If you put your trust in him and don't put your trust in the things of this world, you will be greatly blessed. In fact, Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Your hope for the future. It should not be in all the vain and perishable things of this world. It should be in the Lord. The Lord is the one. You know, there's a sense in which I'm struggling at work because some of the work that we're doing is becoming political. And we have some folks that want to impress this person and that person, so we'll look good and then we'll get future work and we'll get all this. I don't think like that. I just can't understand that. I put my trust in the Lord and do what the Lord had me to do and let the Lord take care of the future. That's what I believe that the Bible teaches that we should do, to put our trust in the Lord. And Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man that puts his trust in the Lord. You will be blessed by putting your trust in the Lord. He says, because he trusteth in thee. Now let's go back to the beginning of this chapter here in Isaiah 26. It says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. That's what we have here in the Lord's kingdom, a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Our city is strong, well fortified. It has walls and bulwarks. And I want you to see this city here at the church. And the enemy that attacked the city is the devil. Okay? We sang a song, I think it was the first song we sang, that the devil tries, like he tries to accuse us. He tries to get involved in the matter. But I want you to know that how sweet the name of Jesus sounds, because Jesus means Savior. And salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Your protection is found in simply the name of Jesus. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Just his name is protection for the child of God. But in the work of Jesus Christ in accomplishing our salvation, you have a protection between you and your enemy, the devil, that he cannot get through. He cannot get through because Jesus finished the work and he accomplished what he set out to do, accomplishing the will of the Father. But now notice verse 2. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Open the gates. Who's coming into the city? The righteous nation that keepeth the truth may enter in. You know, it's important for the child of God who joins the church to know what they're signing up for. You are signing up for keeping God's word the rest of your life here in the church. That's important. That's important for all of us in the church to know that the Lord's called us to do this and to cast down imaginations and any thought that we might have that is contrary to what the Word of God would say. Oh, we've got to be diligent about doing that. I'm going to tell you, I'm just speaking for me. I have failed to do that like I should. I have thoughts and I have things that I come up with that are not appropriate. And not something that we should pursue. Because all of our thoughts need to be checked against the Word of God. But oh, open the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. And oh, how important verse 3 is to someone who is joining the church. Oh, Brother Bill is going to be baptized today. Oh, I tell you, my desire for everybody in the church and even outside the church is they would be kept in perfect peace because they keep their minds stayed on him. You know, Peter got to walk on the water with the Lord, and everything was great. But the problem was, he was not walking on smooth water. He was walking on water that the winds and the waves were blowing, wasn't he? And everything was fine until he started noticing them, and then he started sinking. I'll tell you, the child of God's got to keep their mind stayed on the Lord to keep from sinking, to keep from falling, keep from being shaken. Their mind must be stayed on the Lord. And the reason I say that is because I find, you know, Brother Joe mentioned we might have two more new members joining and being baptized at our meeting this weekend. That's great. And the Lord's been, he blessed the meeting at Antioch. I hear he's blessing the camp meeting. I heard Brother Mike Montgomery was extremely blessed at the camp meeting. I told him he needs to bring that over here next weekend. But even if we are blessed, you know who's going to be coming after us? The devil is. Devil does not like the child of God to be enjoying that mountaintop experience. I remember that time we came back from the camp meeting. It was a wonderful meeting. And I think it was Brother Shane Arnold and them had two flat tires in Houston. Worst place in the world to have two flat tires. You only got one spare. Oh, I tell the devil, he strikes fast. And when we got home, lightning had struck our house. All kind of electronics were fried and didn't work anymore. I'm going to tell you, the devil is coming. I'm just going to warn you. And I can prove that because Jesus was baptized in Matthew chapter 3. And in Matthew chapter 4, he spent 40 days and nights being tempted to the devil and didn't have anything to eat. I'm going to tell you, if that happened to Jesus, the Son of God, if he has the gall to do that to the Son of God, he's going to be coming after us too. That's why we need verse 3. God's promised to keep you in perfect peace. Whether you're in a Roman jail, or whether you're being attacked here or there, or whatever storm of this life the devil sends your way, may you be like Jesus, just asleep, because it's not bothering you. You know, Jeremiah said, "The Lord gave me sweet sleep." Sweet sleep. The Lord giveth sleep to His beloved. Oh, I'm going to tell you, there are great benefits to the child of God that trusts in Him. No matter what storm of life can come, I would love to read all the places that talk about those who trust in Him. This is what the result is. It's always good. It's always a blessing. You need direction. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." There's your direction. It comes from trusting in Him and not leaning on our own understanding. I tell you, there's great blessings to the child of God that puts their trust in Him. But the one we're looking at this morning is God keeping us in perfect peace. Perfect peace. If something is perfect, it doesn't need anything added to it. Doesn't need anything removed from it. It's perfect. It's complete. It is lacking nothing. God keeps him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Him because he trusteth in Him. May it be said so of all of us. I thank you for your good attention this morning.